Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of Gospel on the Go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to continue in our series on this very, very hot topic, the topic spiritual gifts. If you've been with us in the last few weeks, we started this series, and the main scriptures that we're going to be using are found in 1 Corinthians, chapters 12, 13, and 14. Those texts, so those scriptures, are going to be kind of like our anchor texts for this series. But, as you know, there are other passages in the New Testament that also talk about spiritual gifts, such as Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. We've already taken a look at some of those texts in our recent teachings, and we're going to continue to do so. But here, 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 are going to kind of be our anchor text. And if you've been with us in this teaching, you know that the church in Corinth back then, 2,000 years ago, was very confused when it came to spiritual gifts. And as a result, there were all kinds of controversies in that church when it came to spiritual gifts. And here, again, in these three chapters, Paul was addressing their confusion and also their controversies. Well, today, we're going to be taking a look at chapter 12, verses 28 through 31, as we bring chapter 12 to a close. Next time, we'll take a look at the beginning of chapter 13. But it's here at the end of chapter 12, the big problem, if you want to write this down, is varieties of gifts, which we've been studying in chapter 12, that God has gifted the body of Christ with varieties of spiritual gifts. There's one body, varieties of gifts. So varieties of gifts, that's good. But as we're going to see today, the Corinthians were lusting for more. So our big topic today is this, varieties of gifts, comma, lusting for more, question mark. Unfortunately, that occurs in a lot of churches today, where people are lusting for what they believe are the greater gifts, like tongues, healings, miracles, prophecy, and so forth. Now again, we teach that those miraculous gifts were temporary and that they ceased at the end of the first century. Those miraculous gifts had been given to a certain group of people, the apostles and some who were closely associated with them. Those gifts were given for a specific reason. Again, the canon of Scripture wasn't complete yet. The New Testament wasn't complete yet. And so as the apostles and some who were closely associated to them, when they would go from village to village, especially outside of Israel, and they started talking about Jesus, the Messiah, and the one who was raised from the dead, the only Redeemer, well, the people they were speaking to obviously wanted some sort of verification to make sure that these guys were true apostles of Christ and that Jesus was the true Messiah. Well, the Lord had specifically gifted them with certain miraculous gifts to be able to perform those miracles, to authenticate, verify the message they were speaking about Christ until the New Testament was complete. But we teach that at the end of the first century, when the canon of Scripture was closed, New Testament was complete, and when the last living apostle, John, died in the first century, we teach that those miraculous gifts ceased. They were temporary for back then for a specific reason. I go to Roma Gypsy villages in Croatia. I don't need to have certain miraculous gifts to be able to prove to them that the Jesus I'm speaking about is the true biblical Jesus. Why? We have the Bible. I can just show them. Well, we do teach, however, that there are permanent ministry gifts that are still in operation, and that every Christian has been gifted by the Lord with a specific, unique combination of gifts that each individual Christian has to be used to build up the body of Christ, to bless the body of Christ for the glory of Christ. And there are varieties of ministry gifts that are still in operation today. And we've taken a look at some of them as we study chapter 12. Again, we have to remember something. Spiritual gifts are meant to build up others, to bless the body. They are not meant for private, personal self-edification. The Lord has freely gifted you, Christian. You are to freely use those gifts to bless others and glorify Christ. No such thing as hoarding your gifts, hiding your gifts, and just using them kind of as your like own little personal, you know, private self-edification party. No. And we also know that spiritual gifts are not something that you desire or ask for. Spiritual gifts are freely, sovereignly distributed by the Holy Spirit as He wills. Remember chapter 12? We saw in verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing spiritual gifts to believers, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. I have been given the gift of teaching. I didn't ask for it. I didn't desire it. I didn't earn it, nor deserve it. The Holy Spirit distributed to me, when I was saved, a unique combination of gifts specially designed for me. I can take no credit. If when I use my gifts that others are blessed, I didn't desire these gifts. I didn't earn these gifts. I'm just simply using them in the power of the Spirit for the reason why they were given to me, to bless others. So I cannot be prideful, cannot be arrogant, and I cannot look down on others who maybe don't have the gift of teaching. In like manner, those who don't have, let's say, the gift of teaching or certain other gifts, they should get jealous and envious. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has freely distributed, listen, varieties of gifts. There's one body, but there are many members. Just like the human body, as we studied recently, one physical body, many members. It's the same with the body of Christ, the church. And every member matters. Remember we saw Paul's illustration of the physical body saying, well, wait a second. If the foot says to the hand, I don't really matter because I'm not a hand. I'm not out front. Well, that doesn't make sense. The foot matters to the physical body just as much as a hand does. Also, if the ear says to the eye, well, I don't really matter because I'm kind of in the background. I'm kind of tucked away behind hair and I'm not out front like the eye. I don't really matter. What? No, we need to be grateful to the Lord for the gift of salvation, for the fact that we've been baptized into the body of Christ, that the Holy Spirit has been placed into us. We should be grateful that we have been freely given varieties of spiritual gifts to be able to bless others and glorify Christ. And we should never have jealousy. We should never have division and discord. And we should never lust for more gifts. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has given to you, Christian, already given to you, that which He desired for you specifically to have. So it's not about lusting for more gifts. It's about humbly using the gifts you've been given in the power of the Spirit for the glory of God. Well, this is really what Paul was saying to the Corinthians in our text for today. Starting in verse 28, he said, God has appointed in the church first apostles, Second prophets, we already studied before, Ephesians 2:20, those were foundational offices in the early church. Those offices no longer exist. But he's also given to the church teachers, then miracles and gifts of healings, temporary miraculous gifts that have ceased. The gift of teaching still is in operation. Also the gift of helps and administrations, those gifts are still in operation. And various kinds of tongues, we teach those were temporary miraculous gifts that have ceased. So again, Paul kind of reviews how the Holy Spirit has given varieties of gifts. Now, back then, again, the gift of healings, the gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy, those were gifts that were in operation back then in the early church, but not now. But in this list, we see, again, the gift of teaching. We see the gift of helps. We see the gift of administration, permanent ministry gifts. So in our church, we've got people who are gifted as teachers. We've got people who are gifted with the gift of helps and serving, people who are gifted with the gift of administration. And as we all selflessly, humbly use the gifts that we've been given, the body's blessed and Christ is glorified. But those Corinthians back then, they weren't satisfied with how the Holy Spirit chose to distribute gifts to them. No. Yeah, they understood this idea of varieties of gifts, but they were lusting for more. Some of them in that church, well, why can't I be an apostle? That's why Paul says to them in verse 29, all are not apostles, are they? What's the answer? No. Some of them were lusting to be prophets. Paul says to them, all are not prophets, are they? What's the answer? No. All are not teachers, are they? Some were saying, well, if I just have the gift of helps, that doesn't really count. I want to be out front behind the pulpit. Paul says, no, all are not teachers, are they? No. All are not workers of miracles, are they? Again, some were lusting for that gift. They weren't satisfied with the gift of administration. No, I want to be able to lay hands on somebody and completely heal them. I even want to raise somebody from the dead. Paul says, all are not workers of miracles, are they? Verse 30, all do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? Again, that gift, what legitimate gift back then in the early church, which we're going to see as we continue our study, the gift of tongues back then, it wasn't what we see today, this ecstatic mindless gibberish. No, the gift of tongues, intelligible, understandable ability to speak foreign languages that you never studied before. You just read Acts 2, day of Pentecost. Now, what has happened is that the charismatic movement has redefined the gift of tongues to this private angelic language of gibberish and mindless. That's not the biblical gift of tongues. Biblical gift of tongues back then, legitimate gift, were somebody who had never studied another language was suddenly able to speak that language fluently without any prior training. And you had somebody there who had the gift of interpretation, which is the last gift listed here in verse 30, who could interpret that what that person said. And that person who had the gift of interpretation had never studied the language before. Suddenly, they can understand it clearly. They interpret it. And let's say somebody else is in the congregation who already understood that language and goes, yeah, that's the language. That's exactly what he said. So you see it? Those gifts were for back then. Nobody can do that today. Paul said, all do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? By the way, it's funny how there are some in the modern charismatic movement that say that you have to be able to speak in tongues in order to be able to serve or to be able to show that you receive some sort of like so-called second baptism of the Spirit, you know. But even back then when the gift was legitimate, or I should say was still in operation back then, even then, not everybody had the gift of tongues. That's what Paul says here, right? All do not speak with tongues, do they? No. All do not interpret, do they? No. There are varieties of gifts. Today, back then, we need to be grateful, content, faithful in using those gifts for the common good. And we have to be very careful not to lust for more, as though we're saying to God, you made a mistake. You kind of forgot some gifts when it comes to me. Can't do that. Because number one, God never makes a mistake. God is perfect, right? He's infinitely pure and perfect. But we need to be grateful, not lusting for more. You see, that's what was happening in that church. And that's why Paul had to, in chapter 12, keep emphasizing one body, variety of gifts. One body, variety of members. Because the church was starting to split back then, because there were those who maybe had the more, let's say, showy gifts, tongues, miracles. They're looking down on everybody else saying, look what we have, you don't have. Others in the church who didn't have those gifts were jealous and envious and were upset with God. How come I didn't get those gifts? And suddenly there was this attitude of lusting for more. In particular, they were lusting for the gift of tongues. We need to have that gift. They were lusting for the gift of prophecy. And we're going to see that in chapter 13, how Paul rebuked them specifically for lusting for those two gifts. Why? Because the Holy Spirit had already sovereignly distributed to each born-again believer in that church the gifts he wanted them to have. But no, they weren't content. They were lusting for more. That's why Paul said, wait a second. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? Do you see their attitude of discontent? And boy, I tell you, I see that happening a lot in the modern church. I'm not sure if I shared this story with you guys. Maybe I did in one of our recent teachings, but I don't have the gift of memory like I used to. So if this is a repeat, I'm sorry. But I remember this was before Danielle and I had gotten married and before we had moved to Croatia, Gospel on the Go. I was serving in a local church here, and I'll never forget this one woman in tears. After I'd done a teaching on spiritual gifts and talked about how the Holy Spirit is the one who distributes them as he wills, she came up to me afterwards in tears and really was just thanking me because for 25 years, she said, every night before she went to bed, she was there laying in her bed, begging God, crying to God for the gift of tongues. Because she had been told by somebody, I don't know where, that unless she had the gift of tongues, she was kind of like an inferior Christian. She was part of the group of the have-nots because she didn't have the gift of tongues as compared to the group of the haves who did have. Well, she's like, I don't want to be like a part or inferior Christian. So she asked the person, well, what do I need to do? And you just need to keep showing God your desire, keep praying to God, keep asking God, keep knocking on the door till eventually God gives you the gift. You have to show God your faith. So for 25 years, according to her, every night, she cried herself asleep as she begged God for the gift of tongues. Never received the gift of tongues. She felt that God was mad at her. She felt like she was being punished. She started to question if she was really saved. Do you see what happens? And that night after I taught on spiritual gifts, and again, verse 11 of chapter 12, that the Holy Spirit distributes to each one individually just as he wills, it was like a huge relief for her. She's like, I don't have to keep desiring and bugging God and feeling the guilt because I don't have it. I said, no, you've already been gifted exactly the way the Holy Spirit wanted to gift you. Use your gifts because you matter. And that was a huge sense of relief for her. But then she took me to the verse that concludes chapter 12, which I'm going to talk about briefly right now, verse 31. She said, Andrew, can you explain this to me? Where Paul, after rebuking the Corinthians for lusting for more, verse 31, Paul almost seems like he's contradicting himself, right? Because he says to them, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. Wait a second, Paul, you were in chapter 12 saying to them that gifts are given freely by the Holy Spirit as he desires. Paul, you were rebuking the Corinthians because there were some in that church who were actually lusting for more, and they were lusting actually for what they perceived were the greater gifts, tongues and prophecy. Paul, after you rebuke them, now you're saying to them, earnestly desire the greater gifts? Yeah, but Paul wasn't contradicting himself. In the Greek, this sentence can be interpreted really in two ways. It can be interpreted as an indicative, a statement of fact, where Paul continued to rebuke them by saying, what are you doing? You're lusting for desiring the greater gifts. The Holy Spirit's already gifted you. according to his will. What are you doing? So one way in the Greek that can be interpreted is an indicative, a statement of fact. Here's the fact Paul was saying to them. You're desiring what? Greater gifts? What's wrong with you? But it also can be interpreted from the Greek as an imperative, a command. And that's how many modern translations have it translated. But earnestly desire the greater gifts. Command. Well, we know Paul was not saying to them, keep bugging God, keep asking and desiring for more. We know he wasn't saying that because, again, just as a reminder, look over in verse 7, same chapter, Paul says to each one, each believer is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Why? For the common good. Again, verse 11, we already saw that, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. Hop over to verse 18. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. And then our text for today, verse 28. And God has appointed in the church different positions, different giftings. So back to verse 31. We know Paul was not commanding the Corinthians to eagerly desire more, to lust for more. We know that. So he was either making a statement of fact, an indicative, rebuking them, saying, what are you doing? You're desiring the greater gifts. What are you doing? Or it could be an imperative where Paul says to them after rebuking them, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. And then look at the end of verse 31. He qualifies that statement by saying, how about I show you the more excellent, which is chapter 13, love. Do you see it? So if he's commanding them to desire more, he's not commanding them to desire more spiritual gifts, especially the showy ones where they can be filled more and more with pride. No. If this is an imperative, he was commanding them to desire something greater, love. Look over in chapter 13, verse 8. He says, love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, which you guys have been lusting for, they're going to be done away with. If there are tongues, which you guys are lusting for, they'll cease. Verse 13, but now faith, hope, and love abide. But the greatest of these is love. You see what Paul was doing here at the end of chapter 12. He says, oh, you guys are just so good at lusting for more. Well, you're not going to get more spiritual gifts. They've already been distributed to every true born-again believer. But you guys want to keep desiring? How about I show you a more excellent thing to desire? It's called love. And again, it makes sense because as we just go to chapter 13, the first two verses, Paul says, let's say I speak in the tongues of men. And we'll talk about this next time, but he even uses himself as an example. Let's just say I speak in tongues. Then he uses an exaggeration of angels. We'll talk about that next time. And then he says, but I don't have love. Paul says, you're nothing but a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Verse 2, he says, if I have the gift of prophecy, which you guys are lusting for, and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, I have all faith to move mountains. That's an exaggeration. But I don't have love? He says, I'm nothing. Do you see it? And so Paul, at the end of chapter 12 here, when he says to them, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, if it's an indicative, a statement of fact, he's rebuking them saying, what are you guys doing? You're desiring the greater gifts according to your standard, gifts of tongues and prophecy. What are you doing? Or if it's an imperative, hey, earnestly desire the greater gifts, let me show you the more excellent one, love. And oh, by the way, Christian, yeah, that is what all of us should be desiring. Go to Matthew chapter 22, and I'll bring this to a close. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus was asked by a scribe, a lawyer, verse 36, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. Verse 39, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Pretty clear, huh? What God desires from us? To love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to love others as we love ourselves. See, that's what was lacking in that church in Corinth. They were lusting for more. And Paul says, you want to lust for something? How about greater love? Hop over to Romans chapter 5 as I conclude. And by the way, Christian, we all can love. By the way, that's the fruit of the Spirit, right? One fruit, ninefold manifestation of that one fruit. What is the first one listed? Love. And how is it that we can love? How do I know that we can love? Why is it we're commanded to love? Chapter 5, verse 5, Christian, hope, certainty. Your salvation does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God, Christian, has been poured out within your heart through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Varieties of gifts, yeah. Lusting for more? More gifts, especially the showy ones? No. But if we want to lust and desire for more, how about we become more loving as we use our gifts? More loving towards God, more loving to the people of God. Rather than lusting for more that's going to make us look better, how about being grateful to the Lord for the gift of salvation? How about being grateful to the Lord for how he has gifted you with spiritual gifts? How about be grateful to the Lord that you're in his body, the church? And how about be grateful to the Lord that you have the unspeakable privilege to bless the body of Christ and bring glory to Christ? And if you want to desire something great, Lord, let's follow the example of that lady every night before you fall to bed. Not desiring gift of tongues and miracles and prophecy, no. But I think we can all, before we close our eyes, beg God to help us be more loving towards him and towards his people and all for the glory of Christ. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.